here's a story from The World.
Today, Nagorno-Karabakh came to Washington. U.S. Secretary of State Mike Pompeo is holding talks with representatives from Armenia and Azerbaijan. They're trying to end nearly a month of bloodshed, fighting over that region I just mentioned, Nagorno-Karabakh. The area is slightly smaller than Delaware and is an ethnically Armenian enclave inside of Azerbaijan. It has been bitterly contested and fought over for decades. The current outbreak of violence is the worst the region has seen in more than a quarter century. Moscow-based reporter Charles Maines is with me. What interest does the U.S. have in getting involved diplomatically in Nagorno-Karabakh, Charles?
In fact, Marco, they've been involved in trying to settle the Nagorno-Karabakh issue for almost 30 years now. It was back in 1992, an international effort led by the U.S., France, and Russia. They took the lead, tried to settle this conflict that emerged out of the wreckage of the Soviet Union. Of course, both Armenia and Azerbaijan, former Soviet republics, and it was the site of a war in the early 90s that killed nearly 30,000. Displaced over a million people. Now, the U.S., Russia, and France, they helped negotiate a shaky ceasefire back in 1994 that froze the conflict but never managed to settle this core issue, the status of Nagorno-Karabakh. And so for years, we've seen these skirmishes between the two sides, never a peace or if an uneasy peace, as it were. But recently, beginning September 27th, we saw this intense fighting break out, the worst escalation in the conflict since the war's end.
The talks with Pompeo come after two failed Russian attempts to lock down a ceasefire. What hampered those efforts?
Well, it wasn't for lack of trying. Russian Foreign Minister Sergei Lavrov met with both foreign ministers from Azerbaijan and Armenia in Moscow. One was a marathon, I think 12-hour set of talks. He came out with a ceasefire that lasted about 5 minutes. The problem here is that, you know, the animosity just runs so deep, they can't seem to keep anyone to hold to these ceasefires. And that's partly because Azerbaijan seems to be the stronger adversary at this point. There's little incentive for them to really negotiate. They're making more progress on the battlefield, and particularly because there's a new player in this battle, and that's Turkey.
So explain Turkey's role.
Well, the Azerbaijanis are ethnically Turkish, so there's an alliance there. Certainly, Turkey is providing some high-tech weapons to Azerbaijan. Particularly, we've seen drones, for example, being used in this warfare. So very different in that sense from the war in the early 90s, when it was basically people running around with Kalashnikovs. This time, it's high-tech weaponry. But also, you know, Turkey says that they're openly backing Azerbaijan, both in the negotiations and on the battlefield, although they reject this idea that they're actually sending fighters directly. There seems to be some evidence of that. Now, also, it's important to note that the Turkish president, Erdogan, he's insisting that Turkey have a place at the table in any negotiations over Nagorno-Karabakh. He says that Turkey deserves a role next to the United States, Russia, and France in terms of trying to negotiate some kind of lasting settlement. Now, the problem here is that the Armenians, just to make things more complicated, see Turkey as behind a genocide over a century ago. So there's a lot of bad blood there as well.
Right. I mean, it's really complex. And then Russia, where you are, Charles, I mean, the Kremlin is in a bit of a tight spot with this conflict in Nagorno-Karabakh. Doesn't Russia have dual loyalties to both Azerbaijan and Armenia going back to Soviet times?
It does. It has good relations, frankly, with both, and large diasporas from both countries in Russia, a point that Putin made on Thursday.
Но никто так не в этом не заинтересован, как Россия. Потому что для нас это все это живое.
So Putin's saying here that Russia has as much at stake in this fight as anyone, because these people are their neighbors, they're people that live in Russia as well. But of course, it's more complicated than that. Russia has a joint defense pact with Armenia. That means that, in theory, Russia should come to Armenia's aid if it's attacked by Azerbaijan. And that's, of course, raising fears that Turkey's support of Azerbaijan could draw Russia into the fight. In other words, expanding this into an international global conflict. Then there's the fact that Russia also arms both sides and has been for many, many years.
So, Charles, the latest from the ground in Nagorno-Karabakh sounds pretty discouraging. What is the current situation? What are you hearing?
We keep seeing these competing versions, both the Armenians and Azerbaijanis insisting that they're inflicting heavily casualties on the other. Certainly, we see reports of more civilians being killed. It was interesting, Vladimir Putin, in speaking about the conflict yesterday in Moscow, this is on Thursday, he said that there were 5,000 dead already, which marked a higher number than previous estimates, although that's not confirmed. Now, the other issue here is that Azeri forces say they've been making territorial gains, including full control over the border with Iran, which Armenia denies. And that's pretty common from what we've seen. If one side says they've made some kind of gains or some accomplishment on the battlefield, the other says that's not true.
That's Charles Maines in Moscow. Charles, thanks as always.
Thank you.